to live it, to be the kings and queens that we are, giving us the option to make a way, to strive to get into the kingdom by applying kingdom principles, applying kingdom business, applying your core values, each and everything that he's teaching you in this season. So on this morning, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for all things, Lord Jesus. We just bless your holy name, Father God. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We exalt thee on this morning, Father God. Lord, there are some that didn't make it this morning to give you the praise, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to place a hedge of protection over each and every person that's on this phone, internationally, locally, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to continue to go before us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the safety net that you have given us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the knowing, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to make have intimate relationships with you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for being there, Father God, when there's nobody else, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for being there, Lord, in the midnight hours, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for being there for every trial and tribulation, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for just allowing us, Father God, to hold on to you, Lord Jesus, even if we just in the shadow, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for continuing, Lord Jesus, to make every provision for us, Father God. We thank you for the promises, Lord, that you have given us, Father God. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for life, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us a new birth, Father God. A new birth, Lord. A new birth, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for never leaving us or forsaking us, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for continuing, Father God, to pull us, Lord Jesus, when we weep, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us that warmth, Father God, when we cold and we weary, Lord Jesus. We just thank you on this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for giving us some of our wants, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the tools, Father God, this airway right here, Lord Jesus, to break the bread of life, Father God, to spread your good news, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the faithful servants, Father God, that has made it happen, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that's continuing to lead us and guide us, Father God. Lord, even when we don't want to go, Father God, we thank you for that tugging, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for that correction, Lord Jesus, when we're wrong, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your grace, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for grace, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We cannot thank you more and more. We can say it over and over and over, Father God. But your grace, Lord Jesus, your grace, Father God, is more than sufficient, Lord Jesus. Your grace, Father God, is what's keeping us, Father God. Your grace, Father God, is what's protecting us, Father God. Your grace, Father God, is what's going to lead us, Father God, to do the things that you will have us to do, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the rising, Lord Jesus, of your son, Father God, that resurrection, Father God, because when he rose, Father God, we were able to have a new mindset, a clean heart, Father God, and change the things that are not like Christ, Father God. So we just thank you on this day, Lord Jesus, as we say we give you the honor. We give you the praise, Lord, and we pray that each and everything that we do, Lord Jesus, that you receive the glory, Father God. As we decrease, Father God, this morning, Lord, and you increase, Father God, we just ask you, Lord Jesus, to use us, Father God. Use us in the way that you shall have us to be used, Father God. Lord, me and my sister Monica, we say yes. On this day, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for our overseer, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for each and everything, but for him keeping us up against, up on the wall, Father God, for keeping us lifted up in prayer, Father God. We just thank you on today, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father God, that the words that come out of our mouth, Lord, be acceptable to you, first of all, Father God. But it touched the minds and the hearts of others, Father God, and it allows them, Father God, to get the understanding of what is being brought to into the atmosphere, what is being spoken into the atmosphere. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Father God, we just thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, me and my sister came up with a title, It Was Necessary. It's things in life that we sit and we go through and we don't understand. And understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we don't put ourselves in circumstances and situations, but we do realize that at the end of the day, that God is in control of all things. We understand that God allows, we know that he allowed Satan to sift Job. So just understand that we're no different. Just understand that sometimes we go through different things in order for different things to be brought out of us. We go through different things in order for us to learn how to be successful, to be prosperous. We go through different things so we won't complain. We go through different things so we're able to learn things and apply different things into our lives. So because Jesus died so we can have a new birth, we leave the old things behind and allow that new man, that Holy Spirit, to live within us, to lead us and guide us. So therefore, we have things and times that we go through that it was necessary. I can sit and attest to that, that I had something to go on that was necessary in my life, but I sit and tell people, whereas everybody else look at it one way, it was the best time of my life because, one, I was able to learn who God was and not learn who he was because I sat before a preacher, a teacher, but I decided to sit in the times where the other people didn't understand me, I didn't understand them, and I had nobody but God. So I was able to meditate on his word day and night. I was able to ask the Holy Spirit to give me clarification. I may just turn on the radio and get an answer from people I don't even know for something that I'm asking God for. So as I stated, sometimes we go through things and it was necessary. And as I state that, we go back and we talk about Joseph. Joseph's situation. Joseph was sold into slavery, and Joseph was falsely accused and falsely imprisoned based on his boldness, his overconfidence, and whatnot. But at the end of the day, Joseph still continued. He developed through every disappointment, through every heartache, through neglect, through the false imprisonment, false accusations. Didn't get upset. You're not going to find anywhere in the Bible, when we speak of Joseph, where he said anything negative, what Joseph's attitude was, I fell down, but let me get up. Because he knew who God was. He was in an isolated time frame, period, where he had nobody but God. He was in a foreign land. Remember, his brothers are the ones that deceived him, attempted to try. First, they wanted to kill him, but then they sold him into slavery. So he was in a foreign land, but it was necessary. It was necessary. Monica, you want to add something to that?
No, I just know that God is leading us on the right path because my spirit is so full right now. Continue, sister, continue.
Joseph was in a situation where, like I said, he had nobody but himself, but Joseph needed to get rid of overconfidence. Joseph was haughty. He was cocky. He was misunderstood. I understand that more than anybody probably on this phone to be misunderstood, but he was misunderstood. And because of him misunderstanding and his cockiness and he going and trying to interpret a dream that God told him, not realizing, thinking it wasn't his family that was going to bow down to him, his brothers, and he was the boss and he was the king, not understanding that God was showing him ahead of time that he was going to be the ruler over Egypt, Israel. I'm sorry, when a famine came through. So everything that Joseph went through, what man thought for evil, God turned it for good. So when man sit and do things to you, that's why it's so necessary for you to trust God, to not just trust him, be loyal and faithful to him, because there are situations where he turns things around for you. And I could sit and talk on this subject probably for day after day, because I myself, God did it for me. He did it for me, but he had to sit and take some things off. I had to keep falling and keep getting up with an attitude of no matter what, I'm going to strive to have this personal relationship with God. And then I had to sit and take myself away from certain things and certain people so God, I could hear God. And situations took place where I could have severed a vein, huh, and bled out and still been in my same place of outcast. That's what I'm going to say. Even though God put me in a situation and he molded me and groomed me when it was time for me to be put out there, I chose to still get under people, places, and things that wasn't for me. But God said, when I'm getting ready to sever some things for your good, and when he severed those things, I was at a fork in the road where I could have said, okay, I'm going to continue to go the same way, or I'm going to stay fast and be unmovable. And see, that's when Joseph was listening to God. And I can compare myself to Joseph this morning because I was listening to God. I was sitting and talking to God and telling him, and God was talking back to me and say, I didn't tell you to do this. I didn't tell you to do that. I placed you. It wasn't by coincidence that I placed you where you needed to be. It wasn't by coincidence that I showed you a vision 10, 11 years ago of two people that was going to be there for you or whatever. But see, I knew to keep my mouth shut. Joseph didn't. God sometimes put us in situations where he's trying to see if we're going to be devoted and faithful and continue to listen to him, or are we going to deal with what man said and say. And it's a beautiful thing. You're able, we're not supposed to boast and brag, but I'm going to pat myself on the back this morning because I was able to sit and listen to God no matter what the situation was, understand what he was saying. But I had to go through, it was a necessary moment. I had to go through some things in order to hear God. I had to go through some things in order to know what was right or wrong. And where did I learn these things? I learned by meditating on his word day and night. I learned by searching the scriptures. I learned by sitting and talking to the Holy Spirit. I learned by putting my faith to work, not just letting it sit there, not just being slumber and whatnot, but I'm sitting there and I'm doing things, making things happen in my situation. Why? Because I realized that it was necessary. I realized that it was necessary. I realized that no matter what took place or how it happened, that God had his hand right in the mix of it, because God knew who I was. God knew that I could be loyal and faithful to man. He knew that I could be loyal and faithful to a cause, whether it was a rightful cause or a wrongful cause. And he knew my heart. God knew Joseph's heart as well. He knew his heart. He knew when the time came, no matter what the situation was, that Joseph was going to prevail. Joseph was going to be successful. And if somebody on this phone feel like they done been through some situations that God is sitting at them and saying, no, I can't use you. But if you can go and show me in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, where the people that God used, they were perfect, then let me know. Because I'm always looking for something where I can learn. I can pick up the Bible and go and research and find something else to put with it. See, God looks at our heart, as I said. God looks for that trust. You have to trust him as he trusts you. You know, he can't trust you and you don't trust him, because that's the key. The key is you trusting God. God is the one that wonderfully created us. God is the one who knew us when we were in our mother's womb. So he knows all about us. He knows that we're going to have some rocks in the road. He knows that we're going to fall. He knows that we're going to stray. He knows that, but the beauty of it, he knows it, but he also knows that because he trusts you, because he believes you, if he keep winding you in, just imagine you catching a big fish, you on a ship, a boat, and you just winding that fish, you got a big one, and you pulling it, you tugging, but yet you still winding them in, because you holding on, what you holding on to is God unchanging hands. You holding on, and although that fish is wiggling and waggling and going all over everywhere, you still manage to bring them in. Now, that fish is you. God is that person holding that little fish rod. It's a fishing rod, and reeling you in, knowing that you're tossing, you're turning, you're sitting and saying, no, I don't want to come. No, I still want to go and do this. I still want to do that. But God didn't say that it was necessary. He didn't say some things is necessary in your life. Sometimes you got to hurt. Sometimes you got to be embarrassed. You got to be broken down to nothing and nobody. But then you still rise. You rise up, knowing that God is the person that brought you through. And then when you sit and you do things that you don't supposed to, that humility come and beat you down so bad, because you know it was God and only God that took that allowed you to go through it. But not only did he allow you to go through it, he was every step with you. He was there everywhere. He never left you nor forsaked you. So as you're sitting there in that form of humility, that humility turns into brokenness. The shame is taken away, and that humility is turned into brokenness, because you realize that it was your daddy, your Abba Father, thank you, Jesus, that brought you through. You realize that. So I sit and say today with Joseph. Joseph stood. He never forsakes God. He knew God would never leave him nor forsake him. I know when I was in my hole, God said, trust me. Trust me, I'm with you. And I trusted him. And on today, I rise. I stand. I can sit and say, I see my dreams. I'm following my dreams. It doesn't matter what I had in the past. It's what I got now. And the beauty, the diamond in the rough is I got God all by myself. I got God with a personal relationship. I got God to trust me. I learned to trust God. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph learned to trust God. Joseph learned to make God the head of his life, the jewel of his life, something that he'll hold on and perish. He'll perish with it. He'll never give it away. And that's what you and I, need to be today. But before I turn it over to my sister Monica, I want to sit and say to you, wherever your circumstances or your situation is right now, I sit and tell you to turn it over to God. Listen to God, because God is letting you know that he wants to develop that relationship with you. He wants to build that trust. He wants to build you to build trust in him and him to build trust in you. It was just spoken last night. The word went forth last night if you was on the line and you received it. He was talking to you. He was talking to me. God is trying to build. He's building some soldiers. He's building some people. He's building his kingdom, because any and everybody can't be in his kingdom. You got to have, it was a necessary moment. A necessary, no matter how long it was, your necessary is, just know that God, if you're trusting God, if you're loyal to God, if you're dedicated and committed to God, I'm not talking about today God is your all in all, and tomorrow something happens and you sit and you throw him to the curb. Remember, God was that God on that ship fighting with that big old fish to whale you in. It wasn't easy. But it's so easy for us to sit and throw God away. God not looking for a people right now that's going to throw him away. God is looking for a people, and he's all over the country right now. His Holy Spirit is going north, east, south, and west over the waters, all over the land, all through the night, all through the day, looking for those people, tapping them on the shoulder and saying how Jesus told his disciples, you come with me. They came with him just as they were. They came with Jesus just as they were, and they were able to leave their past behind. All of them had a past, where none of them perfect, and that's where God is with us today. So whatever it was necessary moment is, what man meant for evil, God can turn that thing around and put you in a place where you are in a place of prosperity. You are, and then the prosperity don't have to always be a financial gain. That prosperity can be that relationship that you got with God, that relationship that can't nobody sever the artery. Nobody sever the artery. It's so tight-knit that nothing can't get in there. Nothing can't get in between. Not even air can get in between what you and God got. So whatever it was necessary moment, somebody, not just somebody, several are going through it was a necessary moment. Recognize that it was a necessary moment. Stop giving Satan the praise and give God all the praise, and realize that it's something to clean you up. It's something to put you in your rightness, your new robe, something for you to put. Joseph was put in fine linen when he became the second leader of where he was at. He was put in fine linen. He was given a signet ring, a gold chain around his neck. Those things meant nothing to him. What meant to Joseph was all the anguish, all the pain, all the hurt that he had to go through. He still realized, he still was faithful to God. He still was loyal to God. So he realized it was God who gave him the promotion. I turn it over to you, sister.
Hello, everyone. I just want to remind you guys of another necessary moment in the Bible. And that necessary moment was when Judas betrayed our Jesus. Yes, that was a necessary moment. And it sounds strange, but if you think about God's plan, how did Judas play his part in God's plan for our redemption? Because, see, you got to remember that he was the bad guy. He actually played a role that was necessary evil in the fulfillment of the prophecies that all the prophets had spoken of when our Messiah would come. See, there was a way that God had planned it, but see, the enemy did not know the plan. See, you got to recognize the story plays out that Christ was accused of being called Christ. Jesus was accused of being called Christ, which means that he was the Messiah. But see, the enemy wanted to have him put away, put down, killed, and destroyed for it. But guess what? There was a redemption plan in that same allowance of that put down, that crucifixion. So when we think about how the way Christ was crucified, what the enemy meant, what Judas meant, what Pilate and the holy men of the Jewish leaders of that day meant for Christ's evil, what they meant against him to take him down, because they recognized that people knew that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that everyone was waiting for. That's when God allowed their actions to bring forth what we have on today, which is grace and mercy. See, there was a way God had to allow Pilate, the ruler of the time, to bring Christ in. And when they brought him to judgment, he was so into giving the people what they want that he wanted to give an option to the people. And see, what happens is, if you read in Matthew chapter 27, Pilate's wife came to him and said, I had a dream about this just man. She didn't say about this man. She said, just man. She said, we should have nothing to do with him. But see, Pilate had already gotten so deep into the situation that he was allowing the Jewish leaders to instigate and to lead him into doing some kind of judgment against Jesus. But when Jesus was found with no fault, because he would not speak, he did not answer their inquisition, he did not answer their accusations, Pilate had his hand forced. He had no option. See, God put Pilate in a position where he had to play a role, because if Pilate had not played the role, we wouldn't have the crucified of today. See, Pilate had an option, and he tried to escape the option. He tried to escape the option of actually putting Christ to death. So he actually came to the people and the elders of the Jewish community, and he said, all right, I'm going to give y'all an opportunity to release someone, a stay of execution, to release someone. And who will it be? I present to you Barabbas. Barabbas was a man that was convicted, and he was actually in prison as well at the same time Jesus was. And when they were given the option, they already had in their mind that Jesus was not going free, that he would not be allowed to escape this judgment. So what happens is, you have the people saying, free Barnabas, free Barnabas. Well, when they freed Barnabas, that took them into fulfilling the prophecy of Christ being crucified. Because once they did so, and they meant him no good, remember, they meant him no good. They were angry with him because he showed that they were hypocrites. He called them vipers. He called them out. He knew that they weren't holy men. But at the end of the day, they were exposed and they were angry. So when they were given the opportunity to free Jesus, they did not free Jesus the Christ. They did not free the man that claimed had done wonderful miracles and that was actually fulfilling the prophecies of what the Messiah would do. And as time went on, it came down to Pilate having to give the sentence. And he said, so what shall I do with this Jesus Christ, since you don't want him free? See, now he's actually trying to throw it off on the elders of the community, the Jewish elders. And they said, crucify him. But what did that crucifixion do? Because, see, they meant it for the end of Christ. They meant it for the end of Jesus in his walk on earth. They meant it for him to be done away with and to be humiliated, to be sacrificed, to be put to death, because they were angry with his revealing of who they were and who they weren't in God's eyes. So when Pilate was able to give this execution of a crucifixion, he went and washed his hands and say, all right, the blood is not on my hand. I wash my hands. You have decided to crucify him. But see, that's where, if he had not played that role, if he had not fulfilled that role in having Christ crucified and gave the order, then God's prophetic word to all the prophets of the Old Testament that a Messiah was coming would not have been fulfilled. So what men meant for his evil, God meant for good. Because you know why? Because God knew all things. He has a plan for us. Sister, what do you think? Where do you think we would be if Christ had not suffered the crucifixion and redeemed our souls? What do you think we would be if that evil had not fallen upon him?
We would actually be, there will be none. We will be no one. We won't be anywhere. As I state all the time that God opened up, he would open up the earth and kill thousands of people at one time. But thank God that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, take this cup away from me, no, not my will, but your will, I thank God for that. I thank God that he did not sit and turn the other cheek, that he realized who his Father was. He realized what the plan was. He realized that God was giving us reconciliation. He was giving us a reconciliation. He was giving us the gift to be free from sin. Death was defeated. We were given a new life. We thank God for each and everything that Jesus did, that it was necessary moment. What man meant for evil, God turned it into good. So that Joseph said it was so he can save many a life. Jesus is in the New Testament came, and he saved many a life. He's saving me. He's saving you.
Amen.
He's saving everybody. He's saving
Amen.
Us. Go ahead, sister. Go ahead, sister.
No, it just moved me in my spirit when I thought about the fact that the death of our Savior, the death, the crucifixion, it seemed so horrible, but God allowed it. And I just can't imagine what he went through. I can't imagine all the pain and suffering he went through. But God allowed it because God knew that this was a way. This was the redemption. He was going to pay the price for every single one of our souls. And all we have to do is just surrender and give Jesus Christ head of our life as our Lord and Savior. And when we have that option and we don't take that option up, it grieves my spirit. And that's why I know we have to continue on speaking to people. We have to commit to that great commission because Christ, he already prepared us as disciples. He told us that when we went out, that we would be persecuted, that we would suffer things because of him. And because he said those things, that leads right back to what you're saying, sister. It leads right back to the fact that he said that men will do evil to us. He will do evil to you because of him. But God had a plan. God says, turn it around for good, that it's okay, that we are to go into it fearlessly, that we are not to be afraid. And that's where I know that because Jesus prophesied that what we're going to go through was going to come to pass, we can't be amazed or aggravated when it comes upon us, sister. And I know you went through your time, and I went through my times as well. Everybody's going to face these times that Jesus spoke of because of him. What do you think about that fact that we were prophesied to? Jesus prophesied that we would be persecuted and we would experience evils against us because of him.
This is where we come to the place where the teachings family, our international partners, our local partners, this is why it's so important for us to gravitate to the teachings that's put in place. So when you go through that, we have to pick up our cross and bear it daily because Jesus did, in order for us to inherit the things that God has for us to inherit it. Jesus went through all of that for us to be adopted into the kingdom, into us, for us to be reunited with him as God children. And this is where right now ADM is learning these different things, the giving the different tools for us to not sit and let what Jesus went through fall on deaf ears, for what Jesus went through be in vain. We are guaranteed, if you are in God's will and you're doing what he's told you to do, and you got to redempt this mind, that you will sit in the heavenly place. You will go into the kingdom of God. So everything, it was necessary. These things was necessary. And what's going on today, in today's time, and I'm talking about the teaching that, see, it's an awesome thing when you sitting up under somebody that got the vision, somebody that can sit as the old Jeremiah, Ezekiel, whatever. My apostle got an old soul, prophetic soul, where, you know, you can sit and tap into the things, because this is something that was already, God had already revealed some things to him before COVID-19 even came into place. And these things, now the teachings, it is necessary because of what has already went forth. What has already went forth, Jesus already went forth before us to prepare a place for us. And now we have to gravitate to the tools that he's given us. So those things won't, you will be in the number. You will be in a place where you can sit and say that I am faithful too. I am well deserving as well, because I'm listening to the things that God knows everything that God has set forth. Not man picking up a book and saying, oh, this is the topic that I'm going to have today. But a man that's being led by the Spirit, so the prophecies can still be fulfilled. So what Jesus has went through is not in vain. Go ahead, sister.
Yeah, I just wanna go back to that one thought, and I just ask you to consider your situation and what your situation, whatever it may be, what man meant for evil, what the enemy meant for evil. Know that God can make it for good. Know that he has a way of doing that thing. I had a situation back when I was a GED teacher. I used to be a GED teacher, and I taught the math portion because I was very good at helping people understand the math portion, and that's important to pass the GED. Now, I'm going to tell you this little short thing just to get to my point. When I was the GED teacher, I was able to come in contact with a student on a lunch break, and they saw some of my drawings because I'm a sketch artist. And because they saw some of my drawings, we began to dialogue about the drawings. And my supervisor came in and saw this, and it led to me being fired because they thought that I was running a business during my employment of a government, you know, funded program of, you know, GED. Well, long story short, I was fired. But when I got fired, it made me cry and cry out to God, God, why did they fire me unjustly? What is going on? See, that evil, what that supervisor meant for evil for me, it turned into me going before God and realizing that I was not in the wrong. I was not guilty of what I was accused of. And so it pushed me into going job hunting. And within a week, I went and I applied for a job I would have never applied for because I was content as a teacher in the GED program. But when I got my interview, how come God opened the door for me to get a salary, double the pay of the GED teacher?
Praise God.
But that's what the job was. The job was actually in an art program, head of an art department, making double what I was making in the salary of a teacher. See, God knew what was going to go down. But see, what man meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. Because
Amen.
At the end of the day, I had a better position doing something that I truly loved to do, which was not even considered work to me. I was able to do paintings and pictures and teach art sketch classes and all kinds of things. And I got paid double what I was being paid. So that's my example. I said that to say this. Had he not fired me, I would have never went out and found the job that paid me double to do what I love. Now, I'm saying that to say this, you guys. What are you going through that you think is something that's terrible, but God is allowing, and you're asking God why? Because at the end of the day, because we know God is in control, we shouldn't be asking why, but not just why we shouldn't be asking. We should be asking, go ahead and make a way, Lord. I know you're up to something. That's the attitude we have. Because, see, we're in a covenant with a God that loves us. And when we abide in him, this is the favor that Apostle Temple was talking about last night if you were on the line at 8 o'clock. See, the favor of being under his covering. And, see, that favor falls when everything else around you is in chaos. This is what happens when God's favor falls upon you. Favor gave me a job paying double what I would have been paid had I stayed in that position. So take that and do what you will with it, people. Take that and do what you will with it. That's a true story.
Amen. 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 So at the end of the day, like she said, Apostle Temple spoke on favor last night. God shows us favor. Just know that that favor is just not given. It's something that you have to go through. You have to go through that humility. You have to get rid of some things. You have to have a clean slate with God and allow His Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. We sit and we get upset about what's going on in the nation right now, but what we need to understand is that God is in control, because right now there's laws being changed. For those that's sitting with court cases that's pending over their heads, you don't know if God gonna sit and let a law come up against what you're standing in place. The health people are going into the hospital, those that were fearful of going into the hospital, getting treated, people that were looking at evictions, different things are changing. What, man, we sit and we talk about Trump. Understand, Trump is our head right now. God is in control. So at the end of the day, whatever he's sitting and he's doing at this point in time, it's necessary, because it's necessary for a change to come. A change is coming if you just continue to hold on, if you just continue to sit and trust God, if you continue to apply the tools that he's giving you, if you continue to just believe that God is who he say he is, and continue, if you can. I know if you're overseas, your hours may be a little bit different, but it is necessary for you all. It's an urgency for everybody to understand the movement of God right now and get up under the people that God is placing in that movement. So we need to, tonight, if you can come online, the number is 385-799-9620. Again, it is 385-799-9620. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love you, but remember, God loves you best. Have a great day.